I was talking to our program director, Eric Spitz, and I said, I want to do some shows with a co-host. I don't want to do these shows by myself. We both came to an agreement that one of the best talk show hosts in the business, who also happens to be my friend, you can hear him here on CBS Sports Radio Weekends, Andrew Filippone, would be that guy. So he came to New York from Pittsburgh, and he is here to do the show for Brian. Good morning, Andrew.
You know what's funny, Greg, is like you've, in the half hour that we've kind of just been putting the show together, like everybody that's walked by who you've introduced me to, you've made a joke about like me replacing Brian. Like not on a permanent basis, but like, yeah, he's in for Brian today, and like the other person has like chuckled and laughed, and I've tried to like interpret what that laugh really means. Like, he's got to fill in for Brian today.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what that is either. Brian just has this aura about him that anytime anybody brings up his name or references him, someone has a chuckle. Either a nervous chuckle if you're Mike, or a chuckle that means something other than I'm going to get
hit. For Brian?
Right. That has happened.
I got that a lot today.
Yeah, that has happened a couple times. I didn't even really notice that until you said, do you like me introducing you to people?
Because no, I do. It is big shoes to fill because I know from listening to this show, he brings a certain dynamic.
Well, yeah, but it's
sex.
that too. But I don't think anybody expects you to be him at these
three
shows.
Yeah, you're right. I got to just be myself.
Like, if you came on here and you're like, what up, Greg? What's going on, man?
I got to move the mic around a ton. You know,
yeah,
that's what
hit
he
the
does.
Desk, Greg. That's what he does. He does a lot of this. Drives us crazy. We don't tell. We did tell him to stop doing it once, and then we gave up. Right, Mike? With the banging of the... Yeah, it'll be in the middle of whatever crazy college football.
I'm already looking at the show rundown. It says 7:40, just stare at Twitter and not pay attention to Greg is actually on here.
Shut the hell up.
And Brian moves that around the entire show. Yesterday was great. So the end of the first segment, I'm saying something to him that I'm expecting a reaction. I said something.
Like you just gave a big... You made
or
like
whatever
a,
it was, I addressed him directly like he needed to respond to
like
me.
Like it's your turn to talk.
Yeah, it was clear. And
you did that on purpose because you felt like maybe if you didn't, he wouldn't have been paying attention. You kind of needed to say, hey, Brian.
Right, like it was one of those things because I could tell I was losing him a little bit. And then he doesn't respond at all. And I look down, he's got his passport out. And I'm like, what are you doing? So we go to break. He's like, yeah, man, a rich friend of mine. Well, he wealthy. He invited me to Thailand. So I'm like, hell yeah, I'll go. I got more time on my hands now. I'll go. So I'm like, guy's booking a trip to Thailand in the opening segment
yesterday. You need your passport for that?
I guess so, yeah. I guess for whatever reason, he needed the passport.
Okay.
To see what version of his name on the passport. Brian Jones, Brian Keith Jones.
They did break the mold when they made that guy.
Yeah, I know. And he doesn't know who his parents are. So he has no idea where it came from. It's crazy, you know? It really is an amazing story. But we will miss him for a few days, and he'll be back the 29th, and that will be our last Gio and John show. No way.
No.
No, he's got, you know, with Brian, we were talking about this yesterday after the show. I think he doesn't do well with goodbyes.
Okay.
For whatever reason. Now, I don't want to speculate on what
why
that
not?
Is.
I say speculate away. What makes you think he doesn't like to get emotional about that kind of stuff?
Well, I guess he wouldn't mind us talking about this because I say everything I say about Brian, I'll say to his face. He understands that. But I think that it's one of two things.
Okay.
It's either that because of his childhood and there was a lot of abandonment there, that these things he doesn't deal with well.
Okay.
And when he's leaving or people are coming in and out of his lives. Life. Like, it's either that, or it could be that he really, truly does not care. Mm. Like,
I'm going to go with the latter.
Is a sociopath in a sense of, like, not where he's going to kill people, but, like, doesn't care whatsoever. And I don't think that it's that, because I do think that he cares. Like, I think that he truly does. Like, the other day, he was texting Mike after the show. He's been doing a Gio and Jones trivia question, like, trying to see what we remember about the last 3 years every day. And
how's he done with that, by the way?
He did okay, which is shocking. But he actually texted you after the show, goes, what was that trivia question again? Like, he wanted to know.
Yeah, he couldn't remember and wanted to know what the answer was and the question.
Yeah, and he's been nicer to you, not so much to Pete, but he's been nicer to you.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I think that he does care. I just think that he doesn't want to make a big deal out of it because it does hurt him in a way to, like, leave another group of people in his life. Mm. Interesting, huh? You agree with that? You don't think that's it? You think he doesn't care?
I think it's he doesn't care, yeah.
But you don't know him as well as
No, you're right. Who am I? I'm just...
You're just Brian Jones for the day.
My first impressions of Brian usually are first impressions because every time I meet him, he acts like I've never met him before.
Yeah, right, of course.
Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Who are you again?
Yeah.
How you been?
I know.
Brian, I was here yesterday, actually. We had the same conversation.
Well, how about Bart Scott did that to me the day that the new lineup was announced at WFAN? Bart
Scott.
He acted
like he never...
No, he didn't act. He did, in his mind, in his life, he didn't know
a
thing.
Didn't he do like a weekly thing
yes,
on the show?
Yes, we did a weekly thing.
Didn't he talk to you at the Super Bowl?
For 2 years, he's been in the studio multiple times. We had him at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I remember that.
And his exact words to Bart, man, hey, good to see you, congratulations. He goes, it's nice to finally meet you. Like he had heard a bunch about me, but had never met me.
Wow.
Bizarre. I didn't take any offense to Douglas.
I wonder when I'm going to get to that point.
When you're meeting people several times and not remembering it?
Yeah.
Is that a good thing, though? I mean, is that a point you want to get to?
I don't know. Maybe it's CTE.
It could be. I mean, Brian says that all the time, that he's got, you know, a touch of it at least. You know? Boomer said it, too. He was a big story. Yeah. He said it on his show. So, it is a thing. All right, we're going to open up with some Derek Jeter and Miami Marlins stuff. This, to me, is fascinating for a couple of reasons. I always said that if you are a legendary player, you better make the right decisions if you care about your legacy in your post-playing career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we saw John Elway do it in the same place that he made his legacy on the playing field, and then he went and won a Super Bowl. Things since then haven't been great. He's sort of feeling the other end of that. You know, Michael Jordan has not had any success doing this outside of his playing career, and it's sort of become a joke, but since it's Jordan, nobody really brings that up a lot. But Jeter's going through it right now, and Jeter has this meeting. Now, he is not the sole owner of the Miami Marlins right now. He has become the face. They wanted him to become the face. Baseball wanted him to become the face. So with trading Stanton, trading Ozuna, the things that you're hearing out of Miami, how they're paring down the payroll, they paid too much for the franchise, and now they're dealing with that. He decides to have a meeting with the season ticket holders, and it goes to hell.
Do you like that idea, by the way?
Meeting with the season ticket holders? I think that generally it works. For example, Evan Roberts next door at WFA, and he's a Mets season ticket holder. He loves going to those things.
He's
a dweeb, but he loves going to those things.
I'm a loser.
He likes going there to listen, or he gets up and he like holds their feet to the fire.
No, he doesn't do that. I mean, he listens and he asks a couple questions, and they also do like events there. Like he took batting practice at Citi Field. So like he's into it as a fan. So I think that.
But I don't think this was one of those things.
This was not. But it was an opportunity for people who invest in that organization to say the things that they wanted to say. But
none of which were nice.
No, not at all. And then Marlins man gets up there. We could talk about him later. But this idiot makes a spectacle of himself. And then it's all about him in the headlines. But what I don't understand about people who go to these things and are angry, it's sort of like the way I look at it is, if you go to a restaurant,
right,
your entire life, you love the restaurant. It's a part of your life. You have birthdays there. You got anniversaries there. It means something to you. And then there's new ownership, and it changes. And you go there once, and you're like, okay, this is different now. I mean, do you go crazy about those changes and yell and scream at the owner? No, you just stop going. What I don't understand, especially, and this is not the Red Sox. This is not the Cubs. The Marlins aren't woven into the fabric of that city. Just stop going. Like, don't go to these games. You could live without the Marlins. So I'm just surprised that there's so many people that are this upset.
But you know what,
they've gone through it two times before.
No, I know. But to me, this reminds me of, like, so maybe, like, if you go by, like, current-day politics, like a Democrat was in office for, like, 12 years, and a Republican took over, and you're like, all right, things are finally going to be different. Only you come to find out it's the same.
Okay.
Like, you were kind of like, finally, like, this Scrooge of an owner that we had, and Lori is out. We have this guy that's synonymous with success who takes over, and it's like, not only is it more of the same, but it's even worse. You know, like, they were, I think, if you're a Marlins fan, you were prepared for this to be, like, the start of something great, and it's like your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like your analogy, the reason why I think it's a little bit different is you're making it sound like at some point this anniversary restaurant like served gourmet food. Like at one point it was a 5-star dining experience.
Yeah.
They're invested in it because they're paying for it. The people that live there are on the hook for like what? I think it's $375 million is what they paid for that. The county paid for that ballpark.
And that stuff sounds crazy, right? But I wonder how much it breaks down per person. Plus, a lot of that stuff comes from tourism. Like we talked about this with
Brian. Hotel tax.
Yeah,
and all
that stuff. So, I mean, yes, it's taxpayer money. Taxpayer money is taxpayer money. But I really want to know how much it sets people back. But what did you read? Did they really expect that Derek Jeter and this group was going to come in and pay $1 billion for the Marlins and they were going to turn into the New York Yankees? Did you think that that happened?
No, but does it have to be the Yankees?
Or any successful franchise? I mean, what did they expect when you pay? Like, it's simple math. You're paying $1 billion for something that's not worth
that. I think this is what they expected. I think it was reasonable or fair to think, if you were a Marlins fan, that the guy who takes over, especially what Jeter symbolizes and represents, that for him the first priority is not money, it's winning. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, if he really believed that what was in the best long-term interest of that team to win was to get rid of Stanton, fine. But that's not what they've done. They've gutted the team. They haven't made good trades. They've been salary dumps. So that is reminiscent of what's happened in Miami twice. Both times, though, at least they came after. But they have torn it down multiple times, but at least a couple times it came after championships, which in your head you could probably rationalize a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, they trade Stanton. They don't get great players back. They save money. They trade Ozuna. They don't get great players back. They save money. They trade Gordon. They don't get great players back. They get money. So I think it was okay to think as a Marlins fan, this guy comes in and maybe we're not going to overnight go from 77 wins to 100 wins, but at least in the forefront of his mind, he's going to have winning. That's all he cares about. We get rid of Stanton, that frees up money. We can go sign a pitcher that we need, or we can get player X or player Y. But that's not what they're doing. Right? They're just, they paid over $1 billion for the team, and they want to get in, they want to get out of the red. So they're operating it like a business.
Well,
which you wouldn't expect Jeter to do is my point, Greg. You would not expect Jeter
to be the
cold-hearted businessman.
But they're just putting him out there. He's basically a cardboard
cutout.
Well,
then that's a mistake. Then he should not have. He should have been, to me, if that's what you want to do here, don't be the front man of this thing. I think he's coming off terribly in
all this. Oh, he is. There's no doubt about it. But are we that naive to think that sports franchises these days aren't run like businesses all of the time? I mean, there's certain markets out there in certain sports. Well, let's just use baseball for an example, where there's just so much pressure on you to win. And there's others where there's just not. And I guess I'm at the point in my life where when a team makes a decision to help themselves make more money, I'm not angry. I'm not surprised.
Well, you're not a fan of that team, though.
But, okay, I'm a fan of the Mets. The
right.
Mets have made so many of these decisions in recent memory to save money because of mistakes that they've made.
Madoff thing, they got fleeced by them.
Right, so I'm not getting angry about that anymore. Like, what they're trying to do is recoup their money. I mean, these are adult businessmen that are invested in that team for one reason than others.
Well, right, but you could be disappointed that their bad business decisions have negatively affected the on-field product. As a fan, you're either investing money, time, both into that. If you're I thought the best thing that came out of this whole town hall meeting was that one person asked Jeter, tell me why I should buy season tickets. Give me a reason. Why should I spend thousands of dollars on this team this year? His answer, Jeter said, because you want to get on the ground floor of something great. You want to be here from day one. BS!
Yeah, that's a terrible answer.
That's an awful answer.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why they did this at this point. Generally, these things, I think, can work with fans, but to do it when the heat is the hottest right now with the Marlins in that city, and he's not equipped for this. And I think that
he's in over his head right now, Greg.
There's no way. I mean, he can handle dodging questions from a guy at the Daily News because he's Derek Jeter.
You hit 320 and you win the World Series. You can give stock, bland answers. You know, when you're the most public owner of a team that is, you know, destined to stink this year and has gotten rid of all their stars, it's not acceptable for him to just give blasé crap answers, and that's pretty much what he did yesterday.
And this is why I'm respecting Peyton Manning more and more, because Peyton Manning, after his career, could have done anything, and all he's done is stay quiet. Now, I don't know what he's going to end up doing in the future, but if you're someone who has built yourself up to that level, I mean, Derek Jeter now, this is not going to go well. And this stench is going to remain on him for a while. Yankees fans always love him. But Derek Jeter was the example for everybody. How athletes handle themselves when they're single. You know, how you handle yourself on the field. He was everything. He was the example for everything. What? And now he's coming out of this looking like a clown.
I got to be honest with you. Part of me kind of likes that.
Well, because you never were a Yankee fan.
Well, not only that, but, you know, these people aren't perfect. You know, I like the fact that he's getting knocked down a couple pegs here.
It's about time.
Saying? One of those things.
Yeah, but is this really his fault, though? I mean,
he wanted skin in the game, is what he wanted. He retired. He wanted to get back into baseball. He fancies himself as probably, you know, like a tycoon. You know, one of these guys. Like, I like that he's been humbled a little bit. Let me just say that.
Yeah, I wonder if he even has. Like, I wonder if he walked out of that meeting going, man, you know, these fans, they're right. I'm wrong. This was a bad idea. There's no way he's been humbled. I mean, he's probably saying, he would just keep doing it, you know? Just whatever. We got to make some money.
I'll tell you what, he's not hungry. You see him lately, Jeter? No, he looks like he's put on a couple.
Has he? Good for him. You know? You want to talk about it's about time. It's about time that some of these guys let loose. You got to think about keeping your body in tip-top shape for a long time. And then you just let it go. I'm actually
a little bit surprised by that. I did not. If you would have said to me, Jeter, post playing career, does he get fat? Yes or no? I would have guessed no. I think he's headed down I think he's headed down that path. You know, pull up a picture of him and tell me that I'm wrong. I'm serious.
I didn't.
He's got the fat face thing going on. I never looked. Well, looked at him as a fat faced guy?
No, but I think his head's just getting bigger with age. I think
what happens?
I think that's what happens, yeah. I think
so in 20 years, let's say a fitted cap, I wear a size 7 now. You're telling me when I'm 50, I'm going to wear like a 7.5?
Potentially.
There's no way.
If you're
Your
one
head
of those,
is no. It's not ears
it's not,
or nose.
It's not every guy, but it does happen.
So there's a gene in certain people where their heads get bigger over time.
Yep.
There is no medical research.
I'm just looking at what I've seen. I'm just telling you what I've seen over the years. So Jeter is now in it this morning. I know that this is going to be a topic across the country. People just slamming the dude. So we'll see how he handles it. But, you know, when the season starts and the Marlins stink, I mean, the talk goes away because they're the Marlins. I mean, it's just, this is, like, if you're a Marlins fan, this is now the time to have your voice heard, because once the season starts and they stink, and it's not like they were all that good last year either. I mean, they're just going to be a nothing team that nobody pays attention to. And they'll still end up somehow making money.
Well, people paid attention to him last year.
Because they paid attention to one player.
Yeah.
Did they care that he was on the Marlins? I mean, would the Marlins benefit? I guess they would benefit from that. People would go to the ballpark.
Not really, though, if you look at their attendance last year. They were like 28th.
Hey, why would you even buy that team is my question. Like, what is there that makes you think that this is the investment you want to make in sports? It's just shocking to me that they got $1 billion for that team.
I mean, whether it's a McDonald's franchise that's in, you know, a rich, you know, an area, or one that's in, you know, an urban area, it's still going to make money. Yeah. I think that's the thing. These MLB franchises, because of the way the contracts were, the way the CBA's negotiated, Look at that Astros team, right? The one that, like, the 2013 team that lost 110 games.
Yeah.
They had a $23 million payroll. It was the most profitable team in baseball history.
Yeah.
That's what they're on course for.
Yeah.
That Houston team had a 0.0 local rating. No baseball team has ever been more profitable. Hello? That's exactly what this team is doing.
And is it dumb? It doesn't seem like it. Seems like it's smart. And they were able to win a championship a few years later because they made the right baseball decisions. So, if that's where they're headed,
well,
then
right,
they're
geniuses. But they had a guy running that organization who came over from St. Louis that was, like, you know, cutting edge. People were stealing his crap. Remember, yeah. The Cardinals were hacking into his computer. Right. No one's other than stealing pictures of his wife. No one's hacking into Jeter's computer.
Probably not.
He's got final approval on things. If I were another GM, wouldn't you feel like you could fleece Jeter?
Probably, yeah, because he's not going to be as invested. He's just, I mean, emotionally and mentally.
He knows what war means?
Probably not. No. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You want to talk about Jeter and the Marlins? We haven't even gotten to Marlins, man, who wanted me fired at one point in my career.
That story.
You don't know that story?
Tell me when we come back.
All right, I will tell you when we come back. A bogus update. Keep it right here.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
Pete's not going to be here the 29th, so yesterday was the last day that the two of them would be together. So in the morning, Pete goes, "This is the last day you're going to see me." And Brian said, "Bye, mother blanker." And then at the end of the show, he walked in for what, a second or two? A millisecond, put his hand out and said what?
It said smile and then walked out.
That was it? Smile?
That was it. And I said, thank you for the opportunity.
He said, thank you for the opportunity?
Yeah.
What opportunity did he give you?
He didn't really give me an opportunity.
So what were you thanking him for?
Just being a professional.
Okay, so being a professional. All right. So you think we get the same thing from Brian when he leaves us on the 29th?
I think it's a little nicer to us.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Right.
But wouldn't it be amazing if that was the day that he actually showed his humanity?
and broke down?
Yeah.
That would be.
I already told you that's not happening.
No, I know.
It probably
a boy can dream.
Yeah. It is a possibility with Brian, though, because as much as you think he's predictable, he's really not. Like, there's days that he'll come in and just surprise the hell out of you with what he's thinking or feeling. So that day, maybe there is
something.
What
do you mean by that?
I mean that Brian will do the same thing. He's very routine-oriented, comes in, says the same things, does the same things, grabs the same chair, and then you think on a particular topic he'll have a take on it. But then he'll just completely go off the board and do something you'd never expect. Good example. Everything that we were pranking Brian the day of the inauguration because he hates Donald Trump, right? So we wrote fake liners for him to read that were basically the combination of, Pete, you know where those are? If you can try to find them.
We're here to make sports talk radio great again.
So
only on CBS Sports Radio.
So we did these fake liners, and we were going to roll on him screaming at Mike because anytime Mike puts something in front of Brian, he screams at him, calls him all sorts of names. So
that seems unnecessary.
It certainly is. So we put this in front of him thinking that the combination of Mike handing him something to read and it being Inauguration Day and it's Trump stuff, that he would go crazy.
Yeah.
And what does he do? Gladly reads all of them, wants to do them again because he felt like he didn't do them well enough the first time, and it was just amazing. Like, play another one, Pete.
Happy Inauguration Day from your friends at CBS Sports Radio.
Like, happily. Where's the turn the page one? Do you have that?
Turn the page with us, Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
He's never done a better job.
Right.
Do you think he's one of those guys that if something, like, incredibly, like, amazing happened to him the night before, it carries into the show the next day? Does the personal life for Brian affect the on-air, Brian?
Yeah, sometimes, if he's still drunk.
Like, Brian has a great yoga session on Sunday.
Yeah,
Monday.
It does. Yeah. No, definitely. It definitely does. I think that's true for a lot of us, though. I mean, there's some that can just totally put it aside, and there's some
like
that
you.
Are... No. No, there's definitely days. There's what about you? Can you put everything aside in your life and be able to do the same show every day? Probably better at it than I am.
You know what? I don't know. I kind of feel like I do a better job when something crappy happens.
Interesting. More focused, angry, a little bit of edge.
Because it's just like, screw it. I got 3 hours or 4 hours where I don't have to really think about that.
Yeah, right. I got you. So then you're more locked in.
Yeah.
All right. There's a couple things we want to get to about Andrew's experience this morning. But first, let's get to Bogish and his update. What's happening, Andrew?
Guys, the Milwaukee Bucks tried to lose to the Cavaliers last night, leading 103-83, then trailing 107-105, but they didn't lose.
Jason Kidd waves his team forward. They won't take a timeout here. 115-113 Milwaukee. Six to shoot. Middleton goes toward the basket, almost lost it, waves on him. Every pass nearly picked off by LeBron, but Giannis scoops it up. He lays it in, he gets fouled, and has a chance for the three-point play.
John Michael, Cavs Radio, our guy, Giannis.
I don't even know. You know, this is a hard name to do, isn't it? Antetokounmpo. This is an actual name.
With 27 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists, 119-116, the final, just the second loss in 20 games for the Cavaliers. I love the favorite. The best part of that is him at the end going, "That's what his name is."
Yeah, that's what.
That's not the best Mike name flub though.
Oh yeah, McClutherness.
Yes,
without a doubt. we had a moment with that. Yeah, there's Matt McGloin is McClutherness.
McClutherness.
I still like to think that there's a family out there with the last name McClutherness.
There's not.
Like the brothers McClutherness.
I'm going to look that up right now. You guys can keep talking. I'm gonna
you know, some... is it McClutherness or is it probably going to figure that out, which one is quarterback in their team.
How are you going to spell McClutherness to look it up?
How would you spell McClutherness?
I think it's McClutherness. That's what I... Let me hear it again one more time.
You know, is it McClutherness or is it probably going to figure that out?
Which so McClutherness to me
figure that out.
Is, and I think the guy who runs the McClutherness Twitter account, it's McClutherness.
Yeah. The traditional way. That's how it's
done. E-R, what did you say?
N-E-S-S.
N-E-S-S.
McClutherness.
McClutherness here. Literally nothing comes up. Your search McClutherness did not match any documents. How is that possible?
Well, because I mean, it's a word that nobody's ever said.
It's nowhere on the World Wide Web. It's not one place.
That's the first time that combination of...
I mean, look at the screen. I mean, it is nothing. I've never seen that happen before. There's zero.
Mike broke Google.
Think about it, man. Like, that combination of letters has never been said before.
McClutherness.
Before that moment. Antetokounmpo.
Is what it is.
Yeah, right.
The Sixers, by the way, still struggling. Losers now of 7-8 after a 101-95 Kings win in Philly, and the Wizards down the Pelicans 116-106. Bradley Beal scored 14 of his 26 in the third quarter. The Warriors say Steph Curry's sprained right ankle is healing well. He will begin modified on-court workouts in the coming days. They expect to make a more concrete prediction on his return to game action in a week. College hoops, third-ranked Arizona State rolled Longwood 95-61 to improve to 11-0. Number 8, Texas A&M held off Northern Kentucky 64-58. Number 11, Wichita State outscored Arkansas State 89-80. Number 17, Oklahoma blew out Northwestern State 105-68. Sooners freshman Trey Young, 26 points and 22 assists, which ties the Division I record. Both Gino Auriemma at UConn and Sylvia Hatchell at North Carolina won their 1,000th game yesterday. The top-ranked Huskies downing Oklahoma 88-64, making Auriemma the fastest to reach the milestone. Florida Atlantic pounded Akron 53 in the Boca Raton Bowl.
Yep.
The Owls finished the season on a 10-game winning streak. Their day began with head coach Lane Kiffin signing a new 10-year contract. The New Orleans Saints, the first team in 42 years to send two running backs to the Pro Bowl, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, on pace to be the first teammates with 1,500 scrimmage yards in the same season. Kamara, one of four rookies chosen for the game in Orlando the Sunday before the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers goes back on IR with the Packers unable to make the playoffs, and it's always good to hear this in the morning.
To center point, Carlson, leading for Burakovsky, up to the left circle, a shot! He scores! He scores! Andre Burakovsky wins it for Washington in overtime! Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Dallas!
Dumbest call in sports. Makes no sense. That should only be used for strike one, strike two, strike three.
You know who was the worst with that? The Red Sox radio guy, Neverett.
Oh.
if a guy struck out the side, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. Yeah, it's like, that is the most cliched.
I know.
That's the best you can do. I like the Florida Panthers guy that just says, like, random movie quotes more than that call.
Yeah. And
remember
Neverett,
that dude?
I do.
Randy Muller, I think, is his name, something like that.
I cannot believe Neverett.
He's like,
got
Mom,
that job.
Where's the meatloaf? Goal.
Yeah. No, that guy's funny. But how about Neverett getting that job? Have you ever thought when he was in Pittsburgh he would have gotten a better job?
You can. The Jolly Roger.
You know what? You think real hair would never?
I don't know. I don't remember. I thought so. I thought he just had like a comb over.
He was. God, I hate to say it. He's a good. I'm trying to watch myself here, but
nobody's listening. Just go for it.
I mean, he's your stereotypical baseball play-by-play guy,
right? Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, what was that show on FX with the Hank Azaria character?
Oh, Brockmire.
Yeah. He's like, Brockmire without the cool parts.
I want that to happen to Neverett. I want him 25 years from now to be in some old, like, industrialized, like, town of, like, 50,000.
There's, like, a steel mill behind the right field fence. Yeah.
And there's, like, graffiti up, and he's walking the street drinking, like, you know, like the cheapest vodka you can find, and he's, yeah.
Didn't he have a lame call for a grand slam? Like, it was like grand salami and cheese or something. He had something ridiculous. God. He was just, whatever. Doesn't matter. We don't need to crush Neverett this morning.
But back to John Walton.
Yeah, right.
4-3, by the way, the Caps winning in Dallas, and now I'm done.
All right, Bogish, thanks. So this morning we were just, Bogish was just talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo and how nobody could pronounce it when Coop, our security guard downstairs, we presented him with the name. This is what he ended up saying.
I can't talk good. I know I can't say that name. I can't even say that name. Gigani. Anti. Back to me. I can't even call that name. Like Andy. No. He the best player, too?
That's the guy I met today?
So I transitioned to Andrew Filippone this morning, and your name isn't Smith either, but you're downstairs. Yeah. Your name's supposed to be in the computer. What happened there, Mike? Did you forget that? Was that your fault?
No, we put him in yesterday.
All right. So your name's supposed to be in the computer. It's not, and you're talking to Coop downstairs.
Yeah, he opens up a binder with a laminated page that just had, like, the regular call-in number. 855-2124-CBS. Like, maybe I'll call this. I'm like, yeah, that's it. You want to talk to Amy Lawrence right now? Like, yeah, she's not going to do you any good.
The fire chief down there, Calhoun, has the hots for Amy Lawrence. So I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Calhoun.
All the way.
Yeah, that guy, all the way. He wants to go all the way. Yeah, he, so Coop. So it was probably a total mess.
Oh, yeah, it
there
was.
With Coop.
Yeah, Mike to the rescue, though.
Yeah.
And my first call was to you, I figured.
Yeah, I was still on Do Not Disturb from the night before, and I looked down at the phone and saw what you called. But so he was angry with you, though, Mike.
Yeah,
Coop.
He yelled at me for not letting him know when I came in that we would have a guest. And I said, Coop, you were sleeping. I don't want to wake you up.
Isn't that like the number one, for a security guard, isn't there one rule, don't fall asleep?
Yeah.
Isn't that the one thing you can't do? I mean, you could pretty much do anything else. You want to do crossword puzzles, Sudoku,
right.
Watch a TV
anything.
Show.
Right. Well, there's other things you can't do. Like you know.
No, but if you went to a security guard school, the one thing that they would teach you is
right.
Be alert.
Yeah, be alert. They wouldn't tell you stuff like don't play with yourself under the desk and stuff. They wouldn't tell you. That would just go without saying. But yes, I mean, the stuff they tell you about, like, yeah, be alert would probably be.
Be awake.
Yeah. And he's asking for money now, too. We have him make picks on a show every Friday, and he's now asking for money. Just like...
Oh, you had history with that before.
Yeah,
remember in Pittsburgh?
Yep. No, of course.
With the receptionist?
Yes. Yes, Nadine. Uh-huh. We actually do have Nadine drops here on,
is that
on
right?
The show.
Yeah. I feel right at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard that in a while.
Made my morning.
Yep.
You called her from here one day? Or that came with you?
Mike, you got a better
that
memory.
That was here.
Yeah.
That was here.
Yeah, we called her. I don't know for what.
Season one. Not sure.
Season but one of Geo and Jones.
You were in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
You were in Pittsburgh, and you were trying to get a hold of her for something.
Oh, right.
So you called her through our board.
Okay. I got
to
you.
Trying to get a hold of her.
Right. Okay. All right. Okay. It was probably there for the wedding.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I got you. All right. We have so many things to get to. We're late to every break, which is a good thing. So I do want to make fun of Mike a little bit next, because Andrew had some non-flattering things to say about him once. So we gotta sort through this whole deal next.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
When I got married a couple years ago, both Andrew Filippone, who is filling in for Brian Jones today, and my producer, Mikey B, Mike Biseglia, were at my wedding. And in the post-wedding aftermath, in the conversations we were having, Andrew brought up how he thought Mike looked old. So
I don't remember that.
Well, this happened because I must have shared that story with Mike. I didn't remember the details.
I didn't say it to Mike's face, though.
No, you didn't.
So I said that in like complete... I put trust in you, like, man, Mike's looking like crap. And you went and told me.
No. You didn't say look like... If you would have said he looked like crap, I wouldn't have said that. But I thought that it was interesting that you thought that he was... It was an innocent thing. Like, you didn't... You didn't come up to
me. It wasn't disparaging,
right? You were innocent, so you came up to me and said something along the lines of, "Your producer is in his 40s, right?" I think that's what it was, and no. I was like, oh, no. So this sort of ruins the deal now, because I was going to have you guess his old he is.
So that was when? That was 2015.
Yeah, 2015. Yeah,
I'm going to say Mike's 39. How far off am I?
Off.
He's
younger
Big
than
time?
He's younger than me.
Big enough.
Yeah, he's younger than me. Mike Biseglia is 34 years old.
Have you been getting that your whole life, Mike, that you look old?
Is no,
that...
just the last 3 years.
From me. No one else?
No, I've grayed. I have a lot of gray on the side.
Stress?
Genetics, stress, all of it.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. They used to say that about the Mike and the Mad Dog producers. Like, they all lost their hair, and they all started looking older.
So, yeah, like take that cap off for a second. At least the hairline's not bad.
No, the hairline's solid. No,
yeah, it's the gray, a lot of gray on the side.
But I think it looks good.
I'd rather have that.
So is that, did I sort of do a bad job with that by taking that information to Mike after you told me? Because I don't think that was a bad one. You weren't like, man, I tell you, that Mike, he looks sick. He's disgusting. He's pale. And like I ran in with
him. See, I don't think that's, I often lie up about my age.
Why?
I was going to say with women, but I can't say that anymore now that I'm married.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, you're 36. You look great.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It was like one of those deals.
Well, I started doing that with weight. Like, I'll tell people that, you know, the perspective on it, I say, you know, I've lost 60 pounds. And then people be like, that's unbelievable. Good for you. And meanwhile, I've gained 40. But if I tell them that I've lost 60, then they think that I look great.
Yeah.
Which is crazy for the people that don't know me. You know, for the people that know me, they know. They've watched it happen. But I think that's a good way to go. So you look fine. I mean, you look young and
what are you talking about me?
Yeah, what are you, 32?
31.
You're 31. You're even younger than I thought. Wow.
See, the point about like you maybe looking older or fatter, heavier, and trying to put a different spin on it.
Yeah.
When we were taking the train from New Jersey to New York yesterday, I don't know about your wife. Mine lives on like Instagram.
Oh yeah, it's terrible. Like, it's all she does. My wife.
She gets her news off Instagram.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's really a problem.
So we're on the train, and she's like, "What do you think of this girl?"
Wait, hold on. And then
woman, I shouldn't say girl. This was somebody our age, a peer.
Okay.
And I. First of all, that kind of puts you in a spot where. If I say something flattering, is she going to say, or complimentary looks-wise,
yeah.
Is she going to take that person like, why don't you marry her instead of me?
This is so funny that you're bringing this up because I will finish the story.
So I'm like, not bad. I mean, kind of wearing some very revealing outfits. She's putting it out there.
Right.
I'm not sure she's the type of girl that should be putting it out there like that,
okay.
But confident in herself kind of thing. She goes, oh, yeah, she used to weigh 400 pounds.
Oh, wow. Was that the truth, or is that just
she had gastro bypass.
Was that her lying like I lie? Wow. Interesting.
And so and then she did the thing, I'm going to go into her archives and see if I can find photos on her Facebook page of when she was that big. She has deleted all those pictures, which I don't think I would do. I would leave those. If I'm in that spot.
It's an easy thing for you to say. I mean, when you're 400 pounds, I want to look back. It's the worst time of your life. Probably depressed and feeling horrible.
No, you know, but you'd have, if I would.
Is she single?
Not in the pictures. Oh. I mean, different guys, but shit.
Okay, but if she's single, right, and she's on any of the Bumble, Tinder, whatever, and someone's scrolling through her stuff and they think she's attractive
if
now.
If the girl looked good now, I would not care that at one point she weighed 400 pounds.
Oh, that is the thing. Such a lie.
No, it's not. That'd be a great conversation piece. What an icebreaker. But what was it like to weigh 400 pounds? Like, from there.
No. There's major trauma in that life. If someone's 400 pounds at any point in their life, there's major trauma.
It's a success story. It's an amazing turnaround. It's like the Astros.
but I mean, you're
beginning
thinking,
to be 700 pounds.
Dr. Nozardin. Yeah, I would.
Why delete that part of your life?
Because you want to attract somebody, and most guys, I think, don't look at it like the Astros. They look like she's capable of being 400 pounds.
She's going to go back to that? That's what you'd be thinking about?
No. It's a possibility, as opposed to the other pool of women who have not been 400 pounds at one point in their
I've
life.
I've never seen that before. You 400 to 150 back to 400, that's hard to do.
Oh, no, people do that all the time. You see them on the Biggest Loser people do it. You look up any Biggest Loser person on NBC, they all do it. Most of them do it. And then you got to think about skin, the stretch marks. There's a lot of stuff going on when you're 400 pounds. It's a whole different kettle of fish, man. We're not talking about losing 30 pounds. Like, that's weird stuff. You know, you're different. Your body.
You think she says it on her first day? I used to weigh 400 pounds.
Hell
How long
no.
do you think she waits?
No, hell no. I mean, is there any point even bringing it up?
I'd like to know. Okay. If you weigh, it's like, have you been divorced? Do you have kids? Have you weighed 400 pounds?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't tell people. But at some point, it's going to get physical and you're going to see it. You know, like, dude, you can't lose.
I don't think it's as bad as you think it is. I think they've come a long way with skin care.
No way. I've seen how many of these 600-pound life shows? It's my favorite show. And when they're done losing that weight, it is a mess. All right, coming up next, Jeff Fisher. Geo and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.